Welcome to Human Potential at Work, the show where we explore social impact, inclusion, and empowerment of everyone, including persons with disabilities. Your host is Deborah Rue, CEO of Rue Global Impact, and co-founder and chairwoman of Billion Strong, an identity and empowerment organization designed to bring billions of voices of persons with disabilities together. To join the global community and to donate to the cause, visit billion-strong.org. That's billion-strong.org. And now, on to the episode.
Hello, everyone. My name is Deborah Rue, and this is Human Potential at Work. And we're really going to talk about human potential at work today. So I have returning guests that, as anyone that follows me regularly, if I really fall in love with guests, I tell them to come back on. And I hope both of these women will come back on again. But so they've actually been on before, and we're talking about mental health. We're talking about fueling your body, taking care of yourself during ridiculously intense times. And so we're going to have a really good conversation. We had such a good conversation, we didn't even get on air. So I was like, okay, let's stop and get on air, because we immediately started going into these wonderful conversations. But I also want to make sure that we support these women's work as well, because I believe the work that they're doing is very impactful and could be very beneficial to anyone that's trying to make sure that you're taking care of your team during this great resignation that we're all going through. So I really want to make sure that we support the work that these women are doing, because it's a gift to us that they're coming on and sharing all this intelligence that they have. I just wanted to say that. And so we have Kristen coming back on, and we have Natasha, and I'm going to turn it over to them and have them reintroduce themselves in case you did not see them on the first show. And then what we will also do, we'll make sure we provide a link to their first show so you can go back and see that show as well. So, Kirsten, why don't you start first?
Great. Thank you. So my name is Dr. Kristen Allitt. I'm a naturopathic physician and acupuncturist in the state of Washington, live in Tacoma, Washington. And my specialty for more than the last 15 plus years, I should probably count, is specializing in how to optimize brains and bodies for better decision making, creativity, and health. And I run the spectrum from severe mental illness to working with CEOs and C-suite executives on optimizing their brain for decision making. Because guess what? It's all the same physiology. And it just depends on a series of circumstances. Often if we have mental health problems, or if we're running complex organizations and are burnt out, right? And when we take care of our body and our brain through food, sleep, exercise, and breathing are the core ways we power our body, we feel better. And so that's my specialty and what we talk about through our book. My partner in crime is Natasha Duarte. She is actually the person who has all the skills to communicate that, and I'll let her introduce herself.
Thanks, Kristen. Yeah, I'm Natasha Duarte. Long time. Kristen and I have been friends for, gosh, probably close to 30 years, if not over 30 years at this point. So long history, which is wonderful. And one of those really supportive parts of taking care of yourself in terms of having supportive, positive relationships in your life. And so I just want to highlight that. And as Kristen said, yeah, I think one of my specialties is communication, both verbal and or oral and written. And that's where Kristen and I partner a lot. And so that took the form of working together and co-authoring our workbook, Fuel Your Brain, Not Your Anxiety, but also in providing handouts and information sheets and a lot of really great content on our website, kristenallitt.com. You can also get there from fuelyourbrain.org. And so it's just been a lot of fun to try to really, our work, I would say, is really focused on taking that science, doctor knowledge from Kristen and translating it into a way that empowers people to really positively impact their mental health and their lives and the lives of people they connect with.
Wow. What a beautiful statement. Because I know that on the show that we did at first, we really dug into how our brains work, how the fuel that we put in our bodies, including the water, how that makes our brains work better. And even though I'm a total nerd and I'd love to have that conversation again because I love that I'm going to encourage people once again to listen to that conversation. But where we want to take the conversation today is, of course, we're going to talk about COVID-19. And we're going to talk about, I already mentioned it, the great resignation, where we see people resigning from large corporate jobs like never before. We see people wanting to work for themselves. There's also, there's just so much changes happening. I know that even during this COVID-19 isolation, and I find that what I like to eat is different than before. Mm-hmm. I find that foods actually are impacting my body differently before. I'll just give you an example. I love coffee. But most of my family and friends do not think I should take coffee because I get so hyped up. I'm already really hyper. With my ADHD, it just makes it. But I love it. But I have found that I've been able to reintroduce coffee into my diet. It's a lot less. Just things like that. I'm noticing my body is reacting differently. And I'm also seeing that with other family members. So I don't think it's just me. But I also see, I have an amazing team that works with me. Oh my gosh, it's an amazing team. I always hate to say boss because I hate that old paradigm of, every day they teach me something. We're together. We're a tribe that's taking care of the world, just like you and Natasha. Things are so hard for my team right now. But at the same time, I need us all to do our work and make sure our customers are taken care of. And so we have obligations, but it feels like we are working and we're slogging through neck high mud, but still get your work done and get it done at the same time. Be productive. I was telling y'all off air last week, my brother-in-law, who I'm so close to, suddenly died. We were not expecting it. It was horrible. And unfortunately, he died partially because he went to the hospital and the hospital didn't have beds and the machine that he needed to help his blood was at a different hospital and they were overrun with beds and he just laid in the hospital and died because we couldn't help them. And so was he killed by COVID? So just the intensity and the ongoing, some of us thought it was going to go away real quick in 2020. So how in the world do we do this? It's so complicated. And then also, I have a little company. We have 10 employees all over the world, though. Syria, Philippines, Costa Rica, Germany. Mm-hmm. And the global impact is really intense, but there's a lot of moving parts, including remembering to hydrate ourselves because it almost feels like lately I need more hydration than I used to because maybe the intensity. So I know that was a long series that I threw at y'all, but so now y'all tell us what to do. How do we fix this?
Before Kristen gets started, because I know she has a lot of good information to share and experience from the doctor side, but I'll just share that what I've been trying to do with my coworkers and colleagues and myself is to just try to maintain a little grace and give people the room they need. Like it is, and maybe I have lived and worked in other countries that have a different tempo. And so maybe I'm drawing on that experience a little bit, but like, things, I feel like I am still productive in the work that I do and the people who I work with are, but it's at a slightly different tempo. And we just need to really honor that we're all doing the best we can. And that's going to look different from day to day, depending on what's going on.
I just think it's such, just be kind. Let's just be a little bit kinder.
Yeah.
You don't know what people are experiencing.
That's right.
And I know what we do on our staff meetings, and we actually copied somebody else. There's this lovely woman I've had on the show. Her name is Heather Dowdy, and she works now for Netflix. And I remember one time we met with her, and she said, can we just pause and check in with everyone? And I just thought it was so beautiful to do, because we're too busy. We don't have time to do that. But so now we very deliberately do it. And it sometimes takes 30 minutes to do it. We don't have time, but I think that we actually do have time and we have to make time for it. So being kind, being grateful, just giving people some slack.
Yeah.
Now let's let the doctor tell us.
Well, let's pick up on that in that we have all gone through a trauma. And we haven't all gone through the same trauma, but we have all been thrown into an extreme situation that we have never been in. Now, some people have the skills and have the economics and to ride that out. And other people, when thrown into an unknown, constantly changing situation, get really personally hammered by that. And so there's a wide range of experiences. And so first we can't assume that everybody had the same COVID experience that we had. And because if you have small children, that is a different experience. If you have elders, that is a different experience. If you're living on your own, that is a really different experience right now. And so we all had something happen to us. We all didn't have the same thing happen to us. And so part of this big resignation is that people need time to process what has happened to them. And the people that I've talked to, the HR professionals that I am in contact with, when they're telling me about this great resignation, what I hear over and over again is the people that they're talking to about, like, why are you leaving? They're like, I know that where I'm going is probably just as hard as where I am now. But I don't have enough trusted contacts here. And I will have at least a year before I understand that I am back in the same position that I am here in terms of the work expectations. Because you just can't jump to a new job and work as fast and as hard as you do with all the known parts, right? That's just part of getting a new job. You have a year or two of expanded bandwidth. And I think that's a really important understanding about this great resignation is that, like, at some level, people are leaving to get time to process what just happened and just to have something new, because I went through a trauma with all these people and we had really different experiences about it. And so I'm going to move. And so what Deborah just talked about in terms of taking the time, taking 30 minutes once a week to check in, what is the cost of 30 minutes to check in and be like, how's it going with the kids? Like, how's school going? Because, like, I'm working with some junior high schoolers in my clinical practice, and they're like, I wasn't in school for 2 years. Can you imagine missing junior high school and having to go to high school? Like, that's going to be a thing on the parents. So when we as business owners neglect to take the time to connect, to expand bandwidth, just in terms of the cost-benefit analysis, like, if you had to replace an entire team, what is the cost of that versus saying, okay, once a month, we're going to work a 30-hour work week and you have just take time to take care of yourself. I haven't done the numbers because it's going to be different for each company, but like having a week of just less work so that people can be like, go down to the waterfront and like stare at the water for an hour to just be like, whoa, what just happened? Like, we have to think about what the cost benefit analysis of why people are leaving. And it's not just for more money.
I agree. And I think that is a really good point. And I think it's also, because I was talking to somebody that was unhappy with the large corporation that she worked with. And another corporation started courting her. And she said, I don't want to work for these big corporates anymore. But I think there's a lot of truth to what you said is, yeah, but maybe I'll be right back in it, but I'll have time to heal. And normally when we're traumatized, we take hopefully a little time to heal. Or at the same time, I think something we do in the business world, because I've been in the business world for a long time, is I ask you how you're doing. But I don't really want to know. I don't have time to know. I don't have time to know how you're doing. So just say, I'm doing fine, and then let's get on with it. I don't think you can do that anymore. And right. I think that's maybe what has always been the wrong way to do it also. Right. But so, you know, What do you do if you're a leader of a Fortune 500 corporation, or you are a leader of a small company, or you're yourself are trying to decide, do I leave? Do I go? I think right now it's almost like we don't understand what the rules are anymore. The other day I met somebody and I said, I just don't know. I know that I don't shake your hand, but I don't know what I do. I know I don't, but and it's silly, but at the same time, it's like what you said, Kristen, whenever you start a new job, got a lot to learn. Yeah. Where's the bathroom? How do I fill out, you know, the benefits? There's so many things to learn. Mm-hmm. So maybe
and
that's
anxiety
where
comes with change. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the things, just staying on this, like, how are you question? One of the things that I have observed, and this might be more of a Northwest Western thing, but I don't think so, is that, so I'm a physician and I was raised by lawyers. So everything in my context is ask questions. If I want to know, I just keep asking questions, right?
Right. Until I get my answer.
But I have been told over and over that people assume that is rude.
Okay.
And I don't think it is. And I don't think it is right now. And so, like, when we came on, I'm just going to highlight what's going on for you, Deborah, because you've already brought it up. Like, I said, how are you doing? And you said, it's really hard. And I don't remember quite what I said, but I'm pretty sure that I made some gesture, some tell me more.
Right.
What is going on for you? And you're like, a really close family member just passed away and it didn't need to happen. And you were able to share some context of what your life is so that you're not holding it like this. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to be burdened by that. It's not a burden for me to hear that. It allows me to have sympathy for you and to recognize my own fears about my own elders and be like, oh, I'm not alone in this. And so as leaders, just on the basic sense, like, it's okay to ask questions, but if you ask a question, you must listen.
And also, don't you think this is true? We can tell when you asked us the questions whether or not you really want to know the answer. We can tell.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so I'm like you. I ask a billion questions, but I do it just because I'm very curious. That's why I love doing this show. I'm a very curious person. And so I'm always wanting to learn more. But you're right. Sometimes people can perceive that as rude. But the way you ask your question, it's huge. Because people know right away if you really want to know or you don't. And I think we can just read each other's energy so much more than what we acknowledge. And I don't even know if that's the right way to say it.
I'm going to draw Natasha in this because she's really skilled at this as well. So, Natasha?
Yeah, I just wanted to pick up on the thread of it being rude. And I think, first, I just agree with everything that you both have said. Like, I think the prioritizing that connection and relationship is the way to be more effective and productive in work. I think it really translates and is reciprocal. And I like to ask questions and listen as well. However, the other thing that I found, and I think it's really highlighted with the pandemic, is that this is like a big, for many people, new, weird mixing of like disruption in personal and professional lives all at the same time. Like it's the, like across the whole spectrum, every aspect of people's lives, even if it's something is going to the gym or whatever it is, everything is disrupted. And I think that it's important to also remember, and especially I think in a business setting, that if you ask the question, it needs to be okay for a person to say, to not want to talk about it, to not want to go there. Not everybody is as comfortable with the blending. And I think that's part of just reading each other. And I think that's a skill that some people have more of and other people could learn a little bit more of. But I do think it's really important to respect whatever boundaries people may want to put up or to practice recognizing when to not push too much, but to let people know that that you understand that something's going on and there's space and room there. Because I've actually witnessed some people trying to be compassionate and helpful and pushing a little too hard on trauma that they really didn't want to get into. And that's the flip side of that. And so it is this big balancing thing that we're all doing. And I think it's really uncomfortable for some people to have it so blended now. And yet it's still, to some extent, there's this necessity around.
Such a great point, though. Make sure we're empathetic and compassionate, because I not everybody does want to share. I think that's a real, and sometimes I also find things that I'm dealing with. I'll have both of you comment on this, because to me, I think it ties right to fuel your brain. I am noticing, and I do understand, I'm under tremendous stress with what's happening with my husband, who now has, you know, it's dementia, Parkinson, and epilepsy. And then my poor husband just walking it. My heart sometimes breaks for as he's walking this and walking with my daughter with Down syndrome, still having, you know, some problems associated with the surgery she had. But it's intense. And I find that I don't remember things as well as I used to. I find sometimes I seem to have a problem with my hands. I would pick up a coffee cup and just drop it. It's what are you... things like that you're walking and you start tripping and you, it's like everything is off. Everything is off. And I don't know if that's just me. I have a feeling it's the stress.
It is.
And I've had people breathe. So I even started hearing something on YouTube that you're only supposed to breathe through your nose in and out. But anyway. There are these additional challenges like that. And I don't know if it's just me, but I just have a feeling it's not.
It's not. Let's just talk about how the basics of really basic neurobiology really quickly. So how the brain organizes itself is first sensations, because that's the only way it's going to get something in. What you hear, smell, taste, and feel. So like the impulse comes in, like I see that Deborah has purple hair or violet, and I'm like, oh, it's so cool. I can't wait until I can do that. So let's take that. Let's take that series. So my eye says purple, and so it gets categorized as purple. And then so sensation, categorization, and then emotions. I'm going to put my brain, I'm not in charge of this, my brain's going to put an emotion on that. And there's a spectrum of emotions, and we call them positive and negative. I'm particularly fond of purple hair, but we know in the spectrum, like certain generations would be like, great. And then we have thoughts, and then we have behavior. And this is not only how our brain organizes making decisions towards behavior, but it's also how it fuels itself. So the last part of your brain that gets fueled is the part of your brain that moves your body. So taking Deborah's specific situation, right? That when her brain's, wow, I'm processing a lot of emotions right now because I've got my brother-in-law, I've got my husband, I've got my daughter, I've got my team, I've got COVID. I think that third area of emotions and thoughts is probably consuming most of everything. And if you're going to be 3 or 4 hours from food, probably behavior and like moving your body is going to get awkward. And that is common for people with TBIs, traumatic brain injuries, as well as post-traumatic stress disorder. And the overlap between traumatic brain injuries and PTSD is almost synonymous, right? Like when we look at functional MRIs. And so we're all going through a trauma. We are all going through grief. I'm not sure we can say we have PTSD yet, because I'm not sure we're into past, but we might have acute traumatic stress disorder at this point.
I heard before, as the pandemic was hitting the States, I heard that 65% of Americans would have post-traumatic stress disorder after this was over. And I thought, that's random. How that was right when it started. And of course, as y'all know, post-traumatic stress disorder sometimes doesn't show signs for years after the trauma. So right. I agree. We're trying to live normal lives. I hate that word when we are all extremely traumatized. I mean, right now my family is being traumatized, but we all are taking turns. Yeah. Everybody's going through trauma. And I want to say one other comment that people say this to me all the time. And I know I've said it to others, but the trauma Deborah's walking is so hard. She's got so much. Her trauma is so much harder than my trauma. And people will say, and I said it to Doug, the producer, because like you said, he has two little, beautiful little girls, little babies. And COVID-19 was not the same experience for him in 2020 that it was for me. At the time where I was just living with my husband who had dementia, but still it wasn't as hard as it is now. But he had two little babies during that. And his whole family got COVID-19 at one point too. Mm-hmm. So his experience was not the same as mine, but at the same, I get it. It always goes back to really what Natasha was saying in that we have to be sensitive. We have to read each other. We have to take the time to be kind and gentle. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if you are a leader, you need to hire these women to come in and do training classes for you and your executive team and your managers. People don't know how to deal with this. We're doing our best. Mm-hmm. But we're not out of it. It's not even as if, I'm just going to hold my breath because we'll be out of it in a week. We won't be.
Yes.
And
go ahead, Natasha.
Sorry. I was just going to say that one thing that, you know, just to follow up on the point I made about maybe not digging or pushing too hard if people aren't comfortable with that, there are still things that leaders can do to provide support and create space for self-care that doesn't have to involve getting into all of the detail, the personal details of a trauma. And there is space for that or could be space for that. But there are also things like having adjusted expectations, providing better food or snacks, time to eat during the workday, especially as people are going back to the office, safe places where people feel that they can go and just if they need a minute. So there's all kinds of things. And I think Kristen is maybe going to get into some of those in more detail, but there are all kinds of tools that leaders in thinking of that cost benefit ratio of maintaining your staff or potentially seeing huge turnover and having to accommodate that can be done and employed to try to make for us to all get through this experience together.
Kristen, before I keep changing your name.
That's okay.
But I think before you say your part, because I agree with what Natasha said, I also think that we have to set good examples as leaders for our team. Yeah. And I think often that's not happened. Y'all need to take your vacations. That's a ridiculous one. I've been taking vacation in years. But I was just wondering, as you talk about your part, just because my life doesn't. I actually tried to do one and then three hurricanes went to the island before me. So one good time for the islands. But this is where we live now. So I was just wondering, as you were going to explain, Kristen, about that, is that important? And do you agree that's important, that aspect of it?
Absolutely. I'm privileged enough to be a speaker for Vistage, which is an executive mastermind group nationally. And so I get to speak to CEOs for 3 hours at a clip, which is pretty awesome. But it's been one of the things that has really resonated with executives is pairing some of the work around Chan Hellman's HOPE. And I'll let Natasha talk in depth about that in a minute. But HOPE with fueling your brain. And because you need to take care of your brain body. And part of what the research shows around overcoming trauma is having hope and having goals and pathways to move forward, because that gives you a sense of control over your life. And one of my favorite quotes is by Viktor Frankl: forces beyond your control can take away everything you possess except for one thing, your freedom to choose how you're going to respond to the situation. And if you don't know who Viktor Frankl is, he survived the Holocaust. He was in the camps and he became a psychiatrist and really studied what trauma is through the Holocaust. So we can all say, this is bad. And I agree, there's different, we can't compare traumas. That's not fair. But That was bad. And so one of the things that I've really been talking to executives about is like understanding that giving people both the path to move forward in their lives and the time to fuel and take care of their body. And we go into great detail about our book in our book, Fuel Your Brain, Not Your Anxiety, on how to do that. I'm not going to go too deep into that, but we need both in order to move forward. And it's a lot cheaper than getting new employees and to allow that to happen. And so the conversation that I've been having with executives is like, how do you create that time and space, and how do you monitor that people have the bandwidth, the willpower to move forward, and that hope to do that? And taking care of the body is part of having hope to move forward. But I really like how Natasha explains Chan Hellman's work and the handout, which she'll tell, we have a link to a handout on that. This is her.
Yeah, just really quickly back to the role of leadership. I often liken it to in an airplane when we used to fly, and some of us still do, the instruction to always put your oxygen mask on first. And so that's something that I think an analogy that many people can relate to. So you need to be taking care of yourself first, whether you're a leader or in whatever role that you play, to be able to take care of your team, to take care of your family members or whoever it is. And so that really comes back to the self-care piece, and role modeling that is really the most powerful way forward to help other people as well. The piece about hope, and Kristen, I think you said this, but hope is really the idea that your future can be better, and that you have the power to make it better, that you can actually influence what is happening in your life. And as Kristen said, there's this piece of knowing what next step is and being able to take like these baby steps. And oh my gosh, you hit an obstacle, which we've all had. To call the pandemic an obstacle is an understatement. How do you get around that? How do you still find a path forward with that? And what needs to come with that way power is the willpower piece, and having enough brain smart nutrition on board, getting the sleep that you need, taking the time to move your body, even if it's like walking meetings, which I've now taken to doing a bit more when I don't need to be in front of my computer. Even if it's around my house, literally, like outside, I'll just go outside and walk around in circles while I'm talking, just to get some movement in. And that all supports your brain and body to be able to take that step forward, and not, I guess even more than that, to be able to see potentially what that next step is. Because when we get out of our prefrontal cortex and more into our limbic system brain thing, our more reactive brain, it's hard to, you don't even remember that you have tools or that you have options. And so really it's you need that self-care to be able to see the path in front of you and to be able to take those steps. And that's really the basis of hope. And we did, based on work that was presented in Chan Hellman's book, Hope Rising, we have a worksheet that Deborah will send you a link to, and feel free to share. People can also find it on kristenallett.com. Handouts and worksheets is the page that helps people do a self-assessment. It asks a number of questions, and you can figure out like, where are you falling down if you're struggling? Is it on the self-care piece, the willpower piece? How do you, like really helping stay in that smart, responsive, curious brain? Or is it like just not even knowing what the pathway is? What is the way power? What is the next step? And then understanding that, you can also then start to be like, I don't know what to do next, but I know that I can call somebody, or I can join Vistage, or I can get a group of cohorts together, or join a consult group to identify that next. Or maybe it is, but you just can't get yourself to take the step that is the next one to take. Then you can assess the self-care piece. And I think those are the kinds of skills that can really be brought into the workplace as well, mm-hmm. to move projects forward, to move important pieces of work forward, to move relationships forward, whatever context it is, it has really broad applications.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think that's a really good point. I know that we're out of time, and I want to make sure that you know how to find it about their work. And so I know you've mentioned the website a couple of times, Natasha, but will you tell the audience how they can get hold of you again, if you don't mind? And I know that I asked last time if Natasha Kristen would create a course for Billion Strong in the future, and they said they'd love to. So we're hoping that we can take their wisdom, put it in a course on Billion Strong so that we can make it available to all of our community. But I just highly recommend getting in touch with these two women, because we're all walking intense times. It's not going to, everybody is, and we need the tools to be able to successfully walk it. But I'll say one more thing about hope. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm an entrepreneur that hasn't always made money, hasn't always been able to pay myself salary, my team salary. I'm an entrepreneur that is at times in my life, not been able to pay payroll on time, stressful things. And what's interesting about the word hope, there's been time when I've been hopeful that something was going to happen. And in the long time, in the long run, it didn't happen, but it gave me hope to take me through till something else happened. And so I think hope is a beautiful, important thing for all of us to live our sometimes very confusing lives. But let me let y'all have the last words, and please tell the audience how they can find you on your websites, on social media. And once again, we're going to provide all that information too.
Great.
I will let Natasha go through the contacts. I do want to just encourage people that if you're struggling, we didn't talk a lot about it, but we do have a book that a very usable workbook that gives you small little experiments to try to help improve your energy and mental clarity. And it's called Fuel Your Brain, Not Your Anxiety by Kristen Allitt and Natasha Duarte. And you can find it on any platform that you buy books at, as well as on Kindle. And I would just, if you have somebody who's struggling or you're struggling yourself, I would really encourage you to, we've gotten really good feedback on that book.
And I've read it. It is good. And remember, if you buy it, please leave them a review. Reviews are critical to us authors. Sorry.
No worries. Thank you. Great plug. It is available as an ebook as well. And I just wanted to bring that up because it's a workbook, but you can download the worksheets themselves from New Harbinger, who's the publishing company. And so even if you get it, and it, we've also heard that it's starting to make its way into libraries. We're getting reviews from folks who found it in the library, and we're so happy to download the worksheets to be able to individualize it even from a loaner book. So that's great that the information is getting out there. And Chan Hellman, who the author of Hope Rising, wrote the foreword for our book. And so we do talk a bit about hope. And the workbook is really providing that way power, the next little steps and experiments to try, combined with information about the willpower piece. And so it really connects into our work, dovetails really nicely. The website is kristenallitt.com. We actually just created a conditions page. So it's kristenallitt.com/conditions. And that goes over if you're experiencing PTSD or anxiety, depression. So it organizes the resources that we have freely available on the website. Our social media handles are Protein for All. And that's another program that we do work on that we didn't get into today. And that's Protein 4, F-O-R spelled out, protein4all.org, which is another website. But then our Facebook and Instagram and YouTube is all Protein for All is the handle. So folks can find us there. And yeah, thank you, Deborah, so much.
Thank you so much. Yeah. This is always such a fun discussion.
It is.
I'm such a talker. I used to get in trouble all the time in school. And now it's, ooh, I get to do this. Yay, okay. So, and we appreciate you. We appreciate both of you. We appreciate your work. And we appreciate your support of Billion Strong. So we, and I'm hoping y'all will come back on again, because this is just such an important topic. So thank you both.
Thank you.
The audience, everybody, please take care of yourself. Please take care of yourself. Be gentle with yourself and with others. And if you're a leader, considering learning more about their work, because we really need to protect the people that we're working with. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
You've been listening to Human Potential at Work. To learn more about Ru Global Impact, visit ruglobal.com. And to learn more about Billion Strong, an identity and empowerment organization, designed to bring the billions of voices of persons with disabilities together. You can join the global community and donate at billion-strong.org. That's billion-strong.org.